You train your Sofshin Ein Beis, Rav Avraham Gardiner, to fill a time for ourselves.
Good morning, everyone. The Beit HaLakim explains that, or questions why we have the Bracha of Moedim straight after the Brachas Emtzos in Shemoneh Esrei. What is it we're giving? What are we giving thanks for? So he explained that he says it can't be because we're thanking Hashem for having received what we davened for. We're saying Moedim immediately after we've asked for them. So we've davened Rufa Einu. As yet, we've seen no results of that or any of the other tefillas, bakoshas we've made. So what's Moedim for? He said it's for the privilege or the opportunity to have davened, to have been omid lifnei Hashem, to have gone through the process of tefillah. Clearly we see from the structure of Shemoneh Esrei and the Moedim at this point that there is some intrinsic value for us in tefillah, quite outside the traditional view of tefillah as being Hasogas Hamavukash, of gaining what we're asking for. Rav Shamshon Rukol Hirsch is a tremendous yisoid in his very yisoidic sticker, Sefer Chorev. He points out that the word tefillah itself, which is the word that Chazal used for davening, does not at all mean asking or begging, all these things. There are different words that used in Torah and Chazal for these aspects. But the Klolistika word of tefillah doesn't mean that at all. So what's the origin? Well, so the origin is actually plilim, the nosam b'plilim zayin mishpatim, which is about going to judgment or setting a matter before Dayanim. The root of tefillah is to judge. And he explains that when we speak about davening, what's the verb we actually, it's lihispalel, which is the reflexive part of the verb, which means actually to judge yourself, to render a self-judgment. And that tefillah, not of course saying that's the only part of tefillah, but one of the main aspects of tefillah is a process of self-judgment, lihispalel, to judge oneself. He explains that that's why we need a three times a day process. So for us to develop the idea a little bit, he explains that if we look, for instance, at the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and we look at many of the yisodos of our emuna, the principles of how we look at the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, how we look at his Geburah, his ability to intervene for us, to control the world, all the Yisfaydas HaEmunah that we have in a way are there. And therefore at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei we have a chance to reflect on how do we stand in our lives relative to these Yisfaydas HaEmunah. When we come to the 13 Brachas episodes, which are all about our Bakoshas, asking our needs, each of those is an opportunity not just to ask for our needs, but to reflect on how does our life and how does the way we behave reflect this. So for instance, first of them, Atul Chonei. So all of us face decisions and problems and issues we need to work through. It may be in our learning, with Shtikal Torah working, whatever it is, we've got things that our minds are engaged in, and we need to work through and solutionize, solve problems. How much, as we come to the Atul Chonei, we've got a chance to reflect, how much does all the shtadlus I make, and I don't know, in taking aces from other people, in spending time thinking about things, working through problems, looking at different aspects, how much does the shtadlus I put in through the day reflect that I believe that Atul Chonei la'odam das? Or is it me? Is it my own hishtadlus? When we get to, and so it is with everything, not just in the practical things within the Rukhni Tizrahashi, Ben Yobin and Sarah Sefer, how much do we believe that we need Siyata Tishmaya the Rehen Shalem to actually be Dovah to Torah, to do Shuva, how much have we put it in our own hands? Of course, it's obvious when we come to Rafa'enu, how much all the efforts we often put in as Yidden, we never go with less than a second opinion when there's anything significant, lower lane, wrong with anyone who's close to us. How much does all the ishtadlus there compare with the ishtadlus we put into our tefillah? And how much, another opportunity to judge, and so on, Baruch Lane particularly, all our business endeavors, our financial endeavors. And as he points out, it's not just a question of where my ishtadlus lies, but it can be things like the level of yashrus involved as well. So if we believe that the Rebbe Shalom is the Mephanus HaKoyim, it wouldn't come into question me taking shortcuts in terms of honesty, yashrus in business, or any of our financial dealings at all. So Baruch Aleinu, again, a chance to reflect on these. But it's not just in these more personal issues of our daily endeavor. It's also when we get to the cluster of brothers dealing with Yemei HaMashiach and Kibbutz Goliath, how much do we really want that? When we come to Tekav HaShofar and we consider how much actually we cling to many of the aspects of Goliath, and a chance to think about, are we really, really wanting Kibbutz Goliath? And so on, through all the brothers. Three times a day we need it, because it's important, first of all, he says, to start the day with the right perspective, with the right Yesodus HaEmunah, refreshed and revised and internalized, and with a fresh perspective on where you hold relative to all the aspects of your life before you go out into your active life. Wherever it is. When it comes to Mincha, a chance in the middle of all the hurly burly, all the afghanas of our day, to step back. Yes, it, in a way, it's the shortest of the tefillahs, and that reflects the fact that it is in the middle of our active life. Maybe we don't feel that quite as much at this time of year in England, but it is. And so it's a chance in the middle of that process, not that. 1 minute, how are we performing? How's our day gone so far relative to that judgment we made this morning and that realignment we made this morning? A chance to reflect on that and therefore to still sort of readjust again our day so that it has the right focus, the right approach. A marriage chance at the end to look back, to reflect, and to make a cheshbon and nefesh on how it actually went. He actually suggests that it's an opportunity for each for everyone to make a self-judgment relative to every bracha, and a chance just to stop for a moment after we said the bracha, just before we say the bracha, when we're reflecting on what this bracha in Shemoneh Esrei is about, we're about to say, to stop and think, make a cheshbon and nefesh, how do I be relative to this? I often have the problem, why was it in the Gemara of Mishnah Brachas, that the Hasidim HaRishonim didn't only take a Shah Achas before, an hour before Tefillah, to prepare, but there was a Shah Achas after Tefillah before they left the Beit HaMikdash, before they went wherever they were going. I always find this a bit difficult to understand. The Shah Achas before, I can understand that, and many speak about this, Rambam speaks about this, the idea of a Hachona for Tefillah. We're about to be Omid Lifnei Melech, we've got to clear everything else out of our minds and really bring ourselves into that state of mind. But what's the Shah Achas after Tefillah for? Well, I think with this, you said it with Shem Shabbat Hirsch, it's a little bit easy to understand. The idea is that having made this self-judgment, we actually have a chance to think about, well, what am I going to do about it? Is there some practical ticket? Yes, I can see now the way I live my life and this aspect or that aspect isn't where I'd like it to be. Doesn't reflect the hashkofer I have. I could answer we could all answer a multiple choice question or just yes or tick the box, yes or no at the beginning of davening. do you believe Hashem is the Rebbe Cholim? Do you believe he's the Mepharmis HaKanul? And we get all the right answers, but clearly by the time we get to the end of the Tefillah, we're not quite so sure about where we really stand with that. And that Shor Achas La'achas Tefillah is a chance to actually think about, well, what am I going to do about it? Why will today be different from yesterday? In what way can I make it? And make some actual practical, look for some practical answers as to how I'm actually going to address the issues. And that's the Shor Achas Tefillah. Of course, it's all relative to the Madrega we're on, and at the time of Chazal, even then it was the Chassidim or Rishonim. So even by the time of the Man of Mishnah, this was not something that the Hamoinam were capable of, a Shor Achas Tefillah, a Shor Achas Tefillah. But at least what we can do is, as many say, is to take the Mustag, and even if it's 5 minutes, or whatever it is, the Mustag is there, and the opportunity there to be taken. And in a way, this fits very much with another aspect of Tefillah, that Tefillah, and many of the halachas of Tefillah, are meuses on the fact that we're omid lifnei ha-melech. And in a way, that's an essential part of this process of self-judgment in Tefillah. It's very easy for us to fool ourselves and to convince ourselves we're doing all right, I'm fine, I don't need to look too closely. It's more difficult when we're omid lifnei ha-melech. If we actually use all the halachas of Tefillah and the Shor Achas lifnei Tefillah to sort of really help ourselves appreciate we're omid lifnei ha-melech, then that level of connection that we have with the Bein Shel Olam at the time of Tefillah makes it much easier for us to be honest with ourselves. Especially when we consider we're Omer Lifnei HaMelech, the one who can see into our Chikrei Lev, and there's no fooling him. So when we're standing in that position, viewed by the Bein Shel Olam, and in a way connected to him in that way, being Omer Lifnei HaMelech, which is, if you like, a connection of our neshama to the Bein Shel Olam, then it's much easier for us to see with an emissary perspective as to, if we want to, if we're prepared to open ourselves and expose ourselves to that process, to actually feel it. I wonder whether, in fact, this is one of the reasons why the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were miyased a fixed Nusach HaTfilah of Shemoneh Esrei and Tfilah generally, when they did during the Bayis Sheni. Historically, it was when Chazal saw the signs that Golus was coming, and that there would be loss of that opportunity to come to the Mikdash. There was already by then a lessening of the Hashras Hashchina than there had been in the Bayis Rishon, for instance, and there was less of that connection, natural connection with the Rebbein Shalom, that there was a time of violation, and even by Shani, they thought they were going into Golas. And that if we were going to be able to engage in this aspect of Tefillah, it was going to be vitally important. There was a fixed nusach that would give us the opportunity to stell up on each and every aspect of these important areas of our emunah and our endeavors, and that was going to be needed now. And if you think about it, at the time of the Mikdash, the different kelim, the different aspects, the shulchan, the aron, the menorah, there were so many things there at the Mikdash that you were coming into contact with that gave you such a clear chizuk in the Rebbein Shalom being the mefarshes HaKol, being the source of our das, the source of our ruchnis, and all the different things. So there was much more opportunity for this, and if you came to the Mikdash, you could somehow connect with that. And you could go as often as you want, but certainly 3 times a year there was an opportunity for a major input in this area. And all of this we've lost, and therefore seems very likely the reason, or one of the reasons why we needed the tekona of a fixed Shemoneh Esrei to give us, as it were, a seder for this process of self-judgment. I think it's also if we men are honest, perhaps we can understand as well why it is that women have only ever chiyuv to only daven once a day. Say first of all, they're not engaged in certain of the work activities that men are, and therefore face less of those, some of those sorts of trials. And maybe, but I think it's maybe also, although we find that difficult sometimes to admit, but they are more naturally, and we see this reflected in so many areas, that they are more naturally attuned ruchnius in ruchnius, and therefore it's easier for them, if they do this once a day, to stick with that process, with the chizukim, with the self-reflection, with the realignment that they've made, to stick with that for 24 hours. Us men find it very difficult to stick with anything for any length of time. That's the idea, of course, of the mitzvahs mangaromas, that they keep us attuned and keep us focused the whole day. It's said of the Chazon Ish that he only he didn't learn Musa. So he might have written it, but he didn't learn it. And but instead of everyone asked why, he said because he davened. And maybe it's at least, you know, it gives us some sort of idea of why Gedolim like the Chazon Ish, if I'm not saying this is the only aspect of tefillah that provided him with this, but that those who engage in an emissary way in tefillah have this opportunity to themselves to reflect. I'm very conscious of changes there have been even in the last 10 years, 5 years. I suppose particularly being involved with work with teenagers, I see this. How much society and life has changed and challenges have changed, but for each and every one of us. Also do quite a bit of driving. And I know how much nowadays there's a temptation to switch on as soon as we're on our own, or call it switch on, switch off. That so for many teenagers and secular teenagers, there'll be every sort of computer activity and game. And but even for B'nai Torah, you know, you see B'nai Torah the whole time walking around with listening to Shirim and on MP3 players or whatever technology it is. Go in the car, there are things to, you can plug your MP3 in and you can listen to a Shield, a CDs, whatever it is, will switch on. But maybe there is a problem within that. It's great that we've got this opportunity for Shirim, of course it is. But how much time, maybe life has become, is less simple than it was, and we actually spend less time with ourselves. And actually did an experiment with a group of teenagers, asking what they did when they had spare time. And it was interesting, all of them had their own activity, but one thing, asked them why they did this, and they were able to access was that actually it's in order not to spend time with themselves. And that in a way, it's much easier to switch something on and to listen to something rather than to think about yourself and reflect on how you're doing and what you're like. And maybe it goes much beyond the sort of self-judgment we're talking about. If we think about the mitzvah of halacha bidrachos and the Gemara at the end of Seder, that from the mitzvah of halacha bidrachos, we learn that the whole chiyuv to be mesaken our midos. And it's not just a hanhoga teva to have good minutes, but halacha bidrachos is mechayvah to be misdabek to the midos of Hashem, mahu racham af acha to hey racham, and so on. And but that mitzvah, which in fact is a very much a mitzvah klolius and a very ascetic mitzvah, absolutely impossible to achieve in any meaningful way at all without time to ourselves. How can we possibly in any way at all be mekayim that mitzvah, which is really the shlissel to so much of our development as a mensch? How can we do that without time to ourselves? And such is the way of life that we leave that there's very, very little opportunity. So yeah, one thing for all of us can be, yes, I know I have that 3-minute walk from wherever it is, from the base of Madras to home, from my work to my office, whatever it is, yeah, I'm going to be disciplined, I'm going to use that. But it's not easy. It's not an easy world nowadays within which to sort of do these things. But maybe tefillah is that haven, maybe tefillah is that place where we can use that as an opportunity as well. Whether it's in the Baruch of Hashibenu or wherever we find relevant for us to stop and think about our own midas and how we're doing relative to how we really like to be. And as these teenagers are able to admit, and maybe teenagers are a bit more honest with us, with themselves, than we are, given the chance, how uncomfortable it is to think about, well, what are my midas like? And maybe Shemona Esther and Tefillah is an opportunity for that as well. This process or this approach to Tefillah can be extended beyond Shemona Esther. In fact, Rav Shamshon Vol Hirsch himself says it extends beyond it. If we think about it, Kriya Shema is an obvious example where the Yesodus and Muna there in Kriya Shema, an opportunity for us to think about this. Sukkah de Zimra, an opportunity for us to think about how we view the Geburah Hashem, and do we live with that? Do we believe in it? And obviously Tachnon and Vidui, a very, very important opportunity for us to think again about how all that we receive and all that we recognize that we receive from the Beis Shalom, that we recognize within our tefillah, how does that match with what we give back and how we perform? And so all of this, an opportunity. And Olenu at the end is, which is part of every of all tefillahs, is an opportunity for us. If we think about what Olenu is about, is just to make a cholistic statement, if you like, a cholistic undertaking to take with us the tikkunim, the reflections, the resolves, the chizukim that we've managed to achieve during our tefillah. It's a sort of, as it were, a statement of resolution to take those forward from now into our day, into the continuation of our day, into the next day, depending whatever tefillah it is. Any questions? Any? At all. I hope so. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Yeah.